This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp Online Therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
You know, more often times than not, we have a little powwow before we go live here on Wrestling Inc. But I could not wait to talk all things Bad Blood. So I just hit, you know what? The show ended literally like, what, 3-4 minutes ago, if that. And we got on right now and we're like, you know what? Let's just go live. Who cares about the powwow? Let's just have a powwow with all the people watching right now here on the Wrestling Inc. YouTube channel. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We are, of course, live all over the globe, all over the world, all over the universe. Talk all things Bad Blood. Not going to lie, Jimmy Corderas, thank you for being here, first of all. Legendary referee Jimmy Corderas, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Can't wait to talk about this. Lots to break down, lots to nitpick about, too.
Ooh, I think I already know what you're going to nitpick it because I saw it. I usually don't go on Twitter that much in general, but let alone during a pay-per-view because I like to kind of I don't know. I don't want to be distracted by things because we all know on Twitter there's a lot of things to get distracted by. But I kind of already know just because I feel like there was a certain finish that fell flat. And we'll get to it. But first things first, I'm George Hermosa. Of course, like I mentioned, I being joined by Jimmy Corderas. A little disappointed that there was no Taylor Swift sighting because, you know, she's all about that bad blood. Shout out to Mauro Ranallo because we all know if he was there, he would be nothing but Taylor Swift references. But yeah, thank you for joining on the 27th anniversary of the very first Bad Blood, back when it was called In Your House Bad Blood.
That's right.
Do you remember that day at all?
Do I remember that day specifically? Not a whole lot. I don't remember a whole lot from the past, but I get little glimpses and pieces there every time somebody mentions something or shoots me a quick video. Then I go, now I remember it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there is something about that day that happened. But then on the other side, there is something else that happened on that day that a lot of people remember, more notably the Hell in a Cell, the first Hell in a Cell that happened on Undertaker Shawn Michaels, which was flat out one of the best matches that we've ever seen at that time and still to this day. And fast forward to now, we saw the latest Hell in a Cell match featuring CM Punk, Drew McIntyre. Can't wait to talk about all things that. But first things first, you know what I mean? You know what time it is? It's trivia time.
Oh, no.
We all know when I'm in that driver's seat. By the way, buckle up because I'm in the driver's seat. Jimmy, we all know I like to drive a little recklessly. I like to knock in a little trivia here and there.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm not good at trivia.
It's okay. I'm gonna give everybody in the chat an opportunity to kind of finagle their brain because you got a whole however long we're going to be here to figure out what the answer is. By the way, I just want to give a little peel back from the curtain. I haven't thought of a single question. I'm going to literally make it up on the spot right now. With that said, in honor, I don't know.
George calling it out there.
Calling it on the fly. But because we are in the anniversary of Hell in a Cell, I want to ask, we all remember the first Hell in a Cell. We sure as hell remember the second Hell in a Cell. Does anybody remember the third ever Hell in a Cell match that ever happened?
Oh. I'm going to have to think about that one. The third Hell in a Cell was, I'm just going to take a wild guess here because I'm not 100% sure. Was it? I don't think it was Kane and Taker.
We'll tune in and I'll give you guys the answer at the end of the show.
Ah, okay.
At the end of the show. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I apologize. The second one was on Raw, but the third one was Undertaker Mankind. Mm-hmm. So I was going to say the one after Undertaker Mankind, I guess you can say.
So the third pay-per-view Hell in a Cell match. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the third Cell match that was ever on a pay-per-view, because I know sometimes it was on Raw and they're like, obviously the Attitude Era was so, felt like everything was in fast forward. So there was not much time to breathe, you know, gimmick matches here, run-ins there. So I'll give everybody like a what was the third ever Hell in a Cell match on pay-per-view? Let's do that. With that said, I'll give everybody the answer at the end of the show. With that said, let's get into all things Bad Blood 2024. Of course, we ended the show with the bang, so let's just keep it going. Let's keep going and talking about the whole shebang about Hell in a Cell, or about the Bad Blood and the main event. We saw Cody Rhodes teaming with Roman Reigns and modern day Megan Powers going up against Solo and Jacob Fatu of the Bloodline. We saw a lot of twists and turns happen in this one. We saw some returns, and we saw obviously an even bigger return come about. First things first, what did you think of the match overall?
I thought the match was structured well. I thought they were going to try and keep Jacob and Roman away from each other a little more than they actually did. But I was fine with how that worked out. I love the fact that Cody, they got the heat on Cody. Because you go right from the entrances, the first one to come out for the babyface team, Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. Saving Roman for the big pop afterwards. That's an obvious sign on who they now think is the number one babyface in the company, I believe, right now. Mm-hmm. Cody is the guy who's selling the most merchandise, and he's still the guy who goes out there day in and day out.
Not just in wrestling, by the way. One of the top sellers just overall all sports.
Right. So, you know what? He's going to be fine. He doesn't have to worry about it. He'll still be over like Rover. But Roman Reigns right now is the priority as the top babyface in this Bloodline storyline, which seems to be top priority right now.
Yeah.
So that being said, I did like the structure of the match. I like the way it finished. I kind of assumed that there was going to be some interference from the other members of the Bloodline, but I like the return of Jimmy Uso. It was a nice surprise because people were anticipating a bigger surprise, which we got later, but at the same time, a bigger surprise interfering in the match itself.
I do want to add, because you worked in the WWE for a very long time, and you have been part of the when I say show, I mean the spectacle. I mean the grandiose image and the visuals of the WWE. Are you a fan of when they have these kind of special entrances, when they have the marching bands and they have the orchestra coming out? We've seen it for decades. I remember one of the first times I personally saw it was WrestleMania 14 when we saw the Chris Warren band sing out Shawn Michaels in the main event of WrestleMania. So are you a fan when you see these kind of things? Obviously, it's not wrestling, but it's still like part of the spectacle and part of the showcase of what is pro wrestling.
I don't mind it when it's something like that, when it's related. When you saw the marching band come out, in the Georgia Tech colors and the whole bit, that made sense.
Yeah.
So when it makes sense in this situation, I don't mind it. It adds to the grandeur. It is a spectacle. After all, it is a spectacle. So you do your best to be a little bit different with each entrance. But when it's something big, like you're making this out to be the big main event of the pay-per-view, I don't have a problem with it at all. I actually like it. But not every pay-per-view. Don't do it every pay-per-view. When you do it, it does feel special if you keep it to a minimum. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, like I don't think we ever saw Motorhead perform anywhere else besides WrestleMania, which made those times that they were there a lot more special. I've always been a big fan of that. Even going back to when Shinsuke Nakamura first debuted on the main roster, when the guy with the violin came out, I thought that was absolutely outstanding. Yeah, we had the return of Jimmy Uso. He's been gone since a little after WrestleMania. Do you think now was the perfect time for him to return, or do you think he maybe should have come back a little bit sooner?
I know that there's an argument that he should have come back a little sooner, but I didn't mind it tonight. I think it made perfect sense to do it tonight and to show who he aligns with. Mm-hmm. And what they did tonight is with Jimmy Uso coming back to save and help Roman and Cody to that for that matter. Is they made him a star. I don't want to say he's equal and on the level of his brother Jay, but they did elevate him big time tonight by having him re-debut tonight.
I'm not going to lie. When we saw Because the way they were doing the angles of the camera, I figured we were going to have Jimmy return, but I honestly thought we were going to hear like the Usos entrance together. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would have blown the roof off of the place. But at the same time, when I think back, I'm like, I don't think they're going to do that, at least right now, because what's the reason of Jimmy and Jay kind of reuniting without, like, let us see them reunite on TV. Because right now, as far as we know, Jay and Jimmy still got beef. Jay and Jimmy still got, you know, a rivalry with each other. We just haven't seen Jimmy in a long time. And just because the new bloodline kicked Jimmy out, you know, of the group, doesn't mean like, okay, well, I'm going to forgive him. There's still some kind of, you know, I guess you can say bad blood between the two. So if they are going to reunite, I kind of like now that I think about it, that they didn't reunite tonight. And if they do get back together eventually, I'd want to see that play out on TV instead.
No, that makes perfect sense, especially considering that going into this rivalry with the new bloodline versus the old bloodline, they're still outnumbered.
Yeah.
So there's still plenty of time for that. And who knows who else is waiting in the family tree wings? You know, there's still plenty of family members out there that could show up sooner or later. But for tonight, I like that. And as far as the big one at the end with The Rock coming out, I think some people were hoping for it. They got it.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. See, The Rock has got such a presence. Obviously, when his music hits, the people pop. He got a huge pop, which was expected anyways. But it was a little things. He didn't say anything through the entire time he was out there. All he did was look at the crowd. They were cheering. But not only did the 1, 2, 3, there was a point where they did the close-up and the eyebrow raise. Mm-hmm. And the eyebrow raise got a pop. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people think you got to do so much. It's all about the moves in the ring. No. You see what I mean? When you have someone like The Rock, okay, he's a special case. Let's be honest. He is a special case. But something simple like that gets a pop like it did, and the 1, 2, 3, now it leaves people wondering, what's he talking about?
Yeah,
what is he referring to?
Because I feel like, I mean, I could be completely wrong. I feel like we all kind of have an idea on where the story's going, as far as who he's going to align with. But again, going back to the whole Usos thing, I don't want to just assume that, I don't want to just like automatically him come out and say, all right, I'm aligning with Solo. Right. I want it to play out. There's a lot of kind of unanswered questions that are kind of been lingering since WrestleMania, where what does Rock think about Roman not being champion anymore? What does Rock think about Roman teaming with Cody? What does Orton and Owens think about Cody teaming with Roman? You know, there's all these things that I feel like needs to get played out over the next couple of weeks. And I'm glad that they didn't just put everything out there. I feel like the end of the Bad Blood show, okay, The Rock is back. We don't know if he's going to be back, you know, for how long or how many shows he's going to show up, but he's back. And it kind of like saying, hey, don't forget, I'm still the final boss. So I feel like it was a lot of it was a kind of reminder of saying like, hey, you know, this story is just beginning, by the way.
True. That's very true. And also, if I can backtrack to way back before The Rock disappeared for a little while, he did hand Cody something and we still don't know what that was. And that's going to probably factor into this some form or fashion down the road, too. At least I hope it does.
Do you think this was the right finish as far as Roman beating Solo in the middle of the ring? Obviously, we know this isn't the end of the story, but considering what's upcoming, whether it's War Games, whether it's something happening at Crown Jewel or whatever it is, do you feel that Roman pinning Solo should have happened, or you think it should have been maybe more heat on the new bloodline?
I don't know if you can get more heat on the new bloodline, especially obviously Roman is not the one to pin right now. And are you going to pin Cody again? It almost feels like if it was going to be them losing, he was the de facto fall guy. So, you know, I don't mind it. I don't mind it, especially because it was Roman who got the pin and not Cody. Because Cody already defeated Solo in that cage match and he defeated him at the pay-per-view. So Roman getting the win is fine. And then the beatdown, they got their heat back, which set up the perfect return for Jimmy, I thought. So it was fine. I was fine with that.
Yeah, I think kudos to everybody involved. Jacob, of course, looked like an absolute star. I think Solo has been amazing. I know me and Flobo has been going back and forth as far as whether or not he's connecting with the crowd. I think tonight was a perfect example that he is connecting with the crowd. Yeah, but either way, I'm really, especially with how the show ended, I'm really looking forward to SmackDown. I think Roman, I could be wrong, I think Roman's been announced for a lot of upcoming SmackDown, so we know that that story is going to continue as far as him showing up. Does Paul Heyman come back soon? Is there seeds of Jey Uso maybe at some point inserting himself? I know he was in the building. I know he's up there partying, but yeah, I'm really digging how the show ended. I think it ended hot. I think a lot of people are going to be talking about it. I can't wait to watch the press conference. Yeah. I know a lot of people in our chat are watching us and also watching the press conference at the same time. So thank you for that. Thank you for still listening to us, but also, you know, kind of keeping an eye out for the press conference. So again, can't wait to see what's going on there. But
Yeah, just one little thing that popped in my head. Just remember when they were beating down Cody and Roman was not going back to help right away. It was Jimmy who kind of talked to me.
Yeah.
Said, you got to go back and help him out. And he said, no, this, I told him one time. But then he ended up convincing him to go. And so, you know, just little things that added to this story.
Yeah. I do want to ask, because they made a lot of references to it tonight. Were you like watching, I'm sure you were, but were you kind of up to date at the time of all those shows that were happening in the Omni, or was that something that maybe up in Toronto you weren't getting as much Atlanta wrestling or Georgia Champion wrestling at all?
No, see, we didn't get it up here at all. Yeah. I mean, if you're a tape trader, you got it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Back in the day, yeah, there were tapes back in the day, VHS as they were called, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to have to trade them. I mean, we got a lot of wrestling up here in Toronto. We got Mid-Atlantic. Mm-hmm. We got WWF at the time. We got Calgary Stampede Wrestling out here. We got AWA, International Wrestling from Montreal. I mean, my weekends were taken up by Hockey Night in Canada and wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I did want to ask you that. I was like, because again, it's different back then. You know, the territory days, you guys don't realize how spoiled you are now. Right. Because you can easily, you know, put literally two buttons or two taps on your phone and you can watch any kind of wrestling all over the country, all over the world. Back in the day, you, like you said, you had to tape trade. I did. I'm old enough to know what tape trading is, and I did it. And I remember just really being excited when that box of tapes came in and saying, wow, like, I can't wait to watch this Von Erich Freebird feud. And again, this is years after. This is, you know. Yeah, so I was really excited to get those tapes. But yeah, just shout out to anybody out there that was able to watch Georgia Championship Wrestling back in the early 80s, even late 70s, with, you know, the Dusty Rhodes and the Harley Races and the Omni Show. So I know that building's got a lot of history. Yeah, and I know the new arena is on top of that. So, you know, cool. It's pretty cool.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, how weird does it feel to be called someone's fiancé? The first time you hear it, you do a double take. Your heart kind of flutters. And before you know it, you go from, let's just enjoy the moment, to we're planning a fall wedding. That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place and have fun along the way. From free planning tools like a budget tracker and website, to a venue and vendor discovery tool that matches you with your dream team. Everything on Zola is designed to make your wedding journey as easy as possible, and with invites that can be completely customized and a wedding registry packed with gifts you actually want. Zola takes you from save our date to thanks so much without breaking a sweat. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But speaking of Hell in a Cell, I just have one, or actually I can say three words to talk about the Hell in a Cell match that opened the show.
Yeah.
Oh my Jesus.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was teased throughout the week. You know, CM Punk was on it, was on an interview not too long ago saying, I want Hell in a Cell to be what it's known for, not just to have a match out there. I want people to remember this match and remember the brutality of what Hell in a Cell was. And I gotta say, brutality at its absolute most brutal. Understatement of the year, because there were a lot of cringe-worthy moments in terms of, like, man, that hurt my back when I was watching some things. What was your overall thoughts of this CM Punk Drew McIntyre epic cell match?
I thought it was great because we've seen some Hell in Cell matches in the past, and you know, people's high expectations and mine too were high for this one, especially with the two participants going in. And if I know people are saying, should this feud go get blown off with a Hell in a Cell match? I was on the fence with it, but after watching this, it was the right call because these guys put their bodies on the line. You talk about sacrificing; these guys made sacrifices that galore. And then, yeah, you know, I don't know what more to say except you talk about brutality. They promised blood, and they delivered. I mean, like Drew hit a gusher.
Yeah,
my goodness,
two gushers.
Yeah, and I found it interesting because I don't recall ever in the past where we've had matches where they've actually pulled out a towel and have somebody wipe off in the middle of the match. I understand why they did it, because it was getting a little much, and it was, I don't know if it was more about getting it on the logo or not in the middle of the ring, but it was actually a nice touch where they were saying, okay, there's a whole lot going on here. Clean it off, you know? And the stuff they used under the ring, they did use the tables, they did use the steps.
A toolbox,
which is under the ring. And the stuff in the toolbox was actual stuff that they use for the ring, as opposed to, why would they have this in the toolbox?
Yeah, you know? Why is a bat wrapped in barbed wire and thumbtacks under the ring?
Yeah, exactly. And I like the fact that they used the structure as a weapon a lot. Which is what it's designed to do, just like any cage match. The structure is the weapon. I mean, you can add the extra bells and whistles, which is what they did, but they did it at the right times. They didn't overdo it. And I thought the match was fantastic.
Yeah, I 1,000% agree. This was just the spot where Drew McIntyre, I alluded to it earlier, but where Drew McIntyre went for the Claiborne and he missed, and like the back hit like the corner of the steps. Oh my God. Like, kudos to everybody. Like, I can't wait to, like, a part of it's like, yes, wrestling, I don't like it when it's too exposed, but I would love to see the backstage footage of each one of these guys after the match. And I don't mean like in character. I mean like the true people, whether it's them embracing, whether it's them like just kind of sticking to the character, but also like, man, like that hurt a lot, you know. And I'm sure the adrenaline helped, but I'm sure both guys are going to be it's going to be really difficult for them to get up tomorrow morning, I guess you can say.
Yeah, they're going to be feeling it, that's for sure.
And this was definitely, I think they alluded, it was probably the 53rd Hell in a Cell match, the 53rd Hell in a Cell match that's ever existed, which is a lot. You know, you can probably take away maybe half of them, because I know a lot of them we've seen in the last 10 years as far as, oh, the Hell in a Cell pay-per-views coming up. I guess we got to have, I think there was one event where they had like maybe three Hell in a Cell matches on the same night, which is a little too much. But
yeah,
this to me, definitely, I can easily say top 10, maybe even top 5 of all time.
Yeah, I would probably say so. I would say so. And again, like you said, there's been 53 cell matches, so there was a lot that they had to surpass in order to pull this off. And I'm glad. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you know, what are they going to do? Climb up to the top and go through. No, I'm glad that nobody's doing that now.
Yeah.
Because that happened in 90s. What was it? With Foley. And
98. King of the Ring 98.
Yeah. I was there for that. You know, that stop trying to think that somebody's going to recreate that, because you can't recreate that moment ever again.
Yeah.
It'll never be recreated. That is a once in a lifetime thing. Let it be. Just
what's,
let it be.
What's crazy is like that moment has kind of been recreated a few times, but nobody remembers that. They still go back to the one that's older, even though the ones with like a Shane O'Mac or like a Kevin Owens is a lot more recent. People still talk about the one that happened 25 years ago. That just says a lot.
My theory as to why is because when it was done with Mick Foley and Taker, nobody had ever seen anything like that before. And the way it came about afterwards, what the aftermath of the first landing on the announce table, nobody knew what to expect. Even us going out there, we didn't know what kind of shape Mick was in. We had no idea. Whereas the other ones came off as spots. These were coming, and also the choke slam through the cage. A lot of people have this misconception that that was supposed to happen. No, that was the, with all due respect to me, that was the ugliest landing I've ever seen in a ring. Got two teeth knocked. I don't know how many teeth knocked out.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I found one of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, I found one, put it in my pocket, and kind of gave it back to the doctor afterwards. I said, "What do I do with this?" And he looked at it. Just give it to me. I don't know. Can they put it back in?
Everybody always talks about the obviously Jim Ross, probably with one of the greatest calls of all time, the Good God Almighty, Good God Almighty. He is broken in half. I to this day will say the one where he got thrown through the cage and Jim Ross goes, "Will somebody stop the damn match?" That to me is just as important as a call, because Jim Ross was able to convey him as a commentator, but also him as a human being, pleading somebody in the back to just like stop the damn match, for goodness sakes, you know?
Right.
So yeah, I always think about that match. And again, you know, much respect to Jim Ross, and that is always going to be one of the best commentating, you know, duties that anybody's ever had. But that statement, like, "Will somebody stop the damn match?" Like, that just was just like, it still gives me chills to this day. Just of how real that line was. And yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, this match, I do want to ask, where does each person go from here? This is clearly the end of the road for each person. Let's hope so, because just, you know, there's really no topping that. Maybe down the road they'll revisit it. Maybe with one of them is a champion. Maybe when, let's say, Drew McIntyre at some point regains a championship and CM Punk goes after him saying, "Hey, you know, I beat you last time we wrestled." You know, we've all seen that happen. I don't know. But again, whether that happens in the future or not, who knows? But where does Drew go, and where does CM Punk go now?
That's an interesting question. Does Punk head towards, do they channel him towards Gunther? Because Gunther needs a credible challenger right now. And this is no disrespect to Sammy whatsoever. Yes, he beat him at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship, but I don't see him being the one to dethrone him for the World Heavyweight Championship. If you're going to have somebody come in, maybe you can go that route for him. But as for Drew, well, hey, we have a babyface Intercontinental Champion, if you want to go that route. But I like to see Drew now being in a place where he's kind of you know, in that dark place where he's unsure of himself, doubting himself. Again, where does he go from there? He's got to, it's got to be someone who could, you know, reignite the fire under him. That's going to be the challenge. Who's that going to be?
I do think, not that anyone's owed anything, but I do think that Drew McIntyre does deserve at some point very, very soon an actual title reign. I'm not saying just from a storyline reason or just because, like, oh, because he screwed him over. But I think he's been one of the hardest workers of the last 4 years. And, you know, he got the big title win at WrestleMania in front of a crowd. But I feel like it's time to have a big, nice title reign in front of a regular crowd.
Let me ask you this. What do you think of this? Because him coming out and cutting that promo where he's, you know, not quite sure of himself. He's having doubts. He's having self-doubts and stuff like that. And have a Gunther interrupt him, calling him a failure and that sort of thing. because people want to cheer Drew.
Yeah.
You can see it. You can feel it. They do want to cheer Drew, even though he's a heel. I think he would be a massive babyface if they decide to go that route.
Yeah, I do kind of see where you're coming from. He, in my opinion, I feel like he's only scratched the surface as a heel. I think we've been seeing some fantastic heel work for the last, what, 9-10 months with him feuding with Punk. But I do kind of want to see how he can be as a heel against some other people as well.
Right.
He was kind of going back and forth when Seth Rollins was champion. He was kind of going back and forth, you know, against Damian Priest and whatnot. Especially it was like you had Damian Priest kind of, you can tell he was leaning more toward babyface. I do agree what you say as far as I think people want to cheer him, but I do feel like there are some people that look at what their roles as a challenge and say, hey, yes, I was able to be a good heel against a great face and CM Punk, but let's see if I can be a good heel against Jey Uso, against Damian Priest, against some of these other heels that, or some of these other faces that are there. Yeah, but we'll see how it's going. And as far as CM Punk goes, yeah, they teased before, you know, when after he beat Drew McIntyre the last time, they teased that he was going to go after Gunther. It does seem like, and I'm just going to assume that Gunther is going to win on Monday. I'm just going to assume that it's going to be Gunther and Cody, which we'll talk about in a second, at Crown Jewel. So that goes, you know, CM Punk or Drew's match for Crown Jewel. Maybe Survivor Series. We'll see how that goes. But, you know, I do think we are going to see CM Punk versus Gunther before the end of the year, whether it's Survivor Series or whether they build that up for the Saturday Night's main event in December.
Oh, that would be a good place for it. Saturday Night's main event. I like that idea because you want to make it a big deal on the first one, especially the return of Saturday Night's main event.
You know, I'm thinking, and just kind of a tease, because I know I have my own little wrestling channel. I've been watching all these SummerSlams, and I wanted to rank every single match ever SummerSlam, and I want to put that in one video. I think I'm going to do that for Saturday Night's main event. I feel like there's a lot of hidden gems for it's going to take a while because I need to watch most of them. but I feel like when I do a rewatch, I feel like I'm going to see a lot of Jimmy Corderas in there.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, you may see a couple of twins in there as well. I don't know.
I do want to ask one quick thing, though. I noticed a lot in my rewatches that you were the referee, and maybe it's just a coincidence, but you were the referee in a lot of matches in like the opening matches. Right. Is there like a formula for that where you like the opening match ref? And, you know, we all hear about if you're not the main event, you want to be in the opening match. Is there a science to that, or am I just overthinking it?
Well, it's a little bit because you want to get the night started off on the right foot. And, I was blessed that they had the confidence in me to be the guy to go in there in the first one and keep things, under wraps when it comes to, especially times, hitting their times was very important back then, especially in the first match. So, you know, I was blessed that they trusted me in that position and also in the, in matches like, TLC matches that, you know, I was pretty much in every one of them. So, yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't just the coin. There was a purpose for you being a lot of the opening, the match in the opening, or the ref in the opening matches, right?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I've been wondering that. I'm like, oh, look, Jimmy Corderas in the opening match. Oh, look, Jimmy Corderas in the opening match. I'm like, if only I can ask him that. Maybe one of these days. But yeah.
One of my favorite SummerSlam opening matches was the Kurt Angle Rey Mysterio one.
Oh, God, yes. Favorite. I think you were talking about it on Twitter, and I think I put in like, oh, what about Rey and Angle? But yeah, that was just I can't wait to share where I have that match ranked on my matches of all time from SummerSlam. But I talked about it a little bit. Crown Jewel, Triple H teased that they were going to have a big announcement that's going to, you know, I guess change upcoming things for or at least have some kind of you know, something that they're gonna do in WWE that they've never done before. And at first I was a little groaning because I'm not a big fan of how they had the old school Survivors, not the old school, but you know, in the past couple like 5-10 years and bragging rights where it's like Raw versus SmackDown for bragging rights for who's the brand supremacy. But then I'm all for that, that's fine. But then it never led to anything. It was just like, okay, Raw wins 7-2. Yay. But like nothing. They don't get like a bonus. They don't get like a, because I always liked it when they had the brand exclusive pay-per-views. And I felt like at some point throughout the year, they should have had a match that the winner, the winning brand would get like a money in the bank, right? Where it's like, oh, you Raw gets money in the bank or something to that extent, right? But they announced something very unique in terms of we're going to have champion versus champion for both the women and the men, but the winner gets this gorgeous looking 50,000 carat championship belt.
Right.
Right. I got my pros and cons, but I want to get your thoughts. First off, your thoughts on the actual belt itself and your thoughts of the concept.
Well, the belt looks pretty big to me. I mean, that's going to cover a lot of torso. Yeah. That's for sure. I mean, and a lot of diamonds, I guess, in it. And I guess that was created especially for the Crown Jewel pay-per-views. For, I'm wondering where that funding came from.
I wonder.
But I still don't know what to make of it. I'm still trying to process this whole thing with the champion from one brand versus a champion for the other for bragging rights and possession of this title with neither of their titles on the line. Mm-hmm. See, I would have liked to have seen somewhere down the road where the titles were unified, mm-hmm. and have like those secondary titles, like the IC title and the US title being the main brand titles, mm. and having the champion bounce back and forth. It gives more opportunities to other superstars, mm-hmm. on both brands to challenge for the championship. You can have multiple storylines going on there. But as far as going back to this belt, will this belt be defended anywhere other than the Saudi shows? I mean, like, we don't know yet what the deal is with this thing. So I don't know what to make of it. I wish I had a better answer for you, George. It's just, I'd like more information is what I'd like.
My guess is it serves like as a trophy. I feel like this is clearly, and I don't want to assume, I don't want to make it feel like I'm a know-it-all, but it feels like this is maybe very much influenced by the Saudi Arabia thing. Mm-hmm. It's more like, hey, we're going to give you like $1 billion to run a show here. This is kind of how we want to do. Right. Even going back to, I remember like the first greatest Royal Rumble where you had 50 men in one match, and then the winner got like a championship that was like a green strap, and we never saw that belt ever again. So but it you know, it does, you know, it adds an accolade to, you know, Braun Strowman's Wikipedia page. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure maybe he has the belt somewhere in his house. I don't know if he owns it or not, but it's something like that where, you know, you get the trophy, you get the accolade, you get to be in possession of the belt. But I don't think we're gonna see that belt on TV aside from that one more time at Crown Jewel. But I'd still wish it was something more than a brag, because it is kind of a bragging rights belt, mm-hmm. where it's like, oh, cool, Cody wins, and now what? Now you just kind of, not, I don't want to say buried, because that's such a cop-out thing to say, mm-hmm. but like, you know, maybe whether it's Cody winning or losing, or whether it's Gunther losing, like, I don't want to see either champion lose. You know, if you're losing like that, then you probably shouldn't be the champion, right? The champion should be like the number one guy. And if you're losing, even if it's to the other champion, then he should have the belt. He should be the one that holds both belts then. I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah. It's kind of like when they have non-title matches and championship contender matches where you have to beat the champion to get a shot at the champion, which to me makes absolutely zero sense.
My biggest pet peeve, when we saw it a lot in like 2005 or so, is when you had tag team champions lose. Oh, one, they would lose to like a team that's like brand newly put together, mm-hmm. or even worse, because I think we saw it with like La Resistance, when they would lose to like Batista, right? I get Batista's your biggest star or whatever, but like, dude, you guys are the tag team champions. Like, if you can beat two men in a tag team match, you should be able to beat one guy in a handicap match. And those days are gone. But that's what I mean. Like, if you're a champion of some sort, I feel like you shouldn't exactly be losing. And I don't think they're going to do the cop-out and do like count out or a double DQ. I feel like this belt is created for somebody to hold it, not to just have it won in a DQ, or not to have it won in a count out, or not to have it thrown away in a double DQ. I feel like we are going to see a winner and a loser and for both. But as of now, it's going to be Cody versus Gunther and Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax. What do you think of those two matchups?
I think they're interesting. Again, it's one of the, at least in the men's side, you have a babyface versus a heel. I don't know how it's going to work out with two heels on the women's side. Does that mean we're going to get something of a title change? Will we get a cash-in? Oh, maybe that would be the perfect place for a cash-in for the, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think we've ever seen any cash-ins in Saudi Arabia. So it should be interesting if we ever do get that first one. But speaking of the women, I want to talk first about a match that I thought was great, but because of the clunkiness of the finish, I'm like, I can't wait not only to talk about it, but I can't wait to talk about it with you. Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley. This to me was everything a feud should be. I think we haven't really seen too many feuds for women, you know, Trish, Lita, you know, Mickie James and Trish, obviously, you know, there've been a lot of great feuds, Bayley and Sasha Banks from, you know, almost 10 years ago. And I think Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley will go down as one of the best feuds that have existed for WWE. And I like the buildup. I like the match, but then it just got weird.
Yes.
Right. You had like Dominic in the cage, who was great, but then he like was chained on the shark cage.
I guess. But
then we had like Raquel come out to like, I don't want to say no pop because I wasn't there, but it definitely felt a little anticlimactic. And then like they called for the bell because obviously then even though they never really announced the actual winner, right? They never even actually announced the decision.
I didn't hear it.
Because, yeah, I didn't hear it either. I just heard the bell.
Yeah exactly. Yeah, it did come off clunky. I mean, like, it was interesting seeing Dom hanging there, but what drove me insane as a former referee, as you know, these things do bother me, was when Rhea went up to the referee and we saw from the referee cam that had audio as well, she asked the referee, can you give me a minute? Well, you know, obviously alluding to the fact that she wanted to go out there and take care of business with Dom hanging upside down from the cage.
What Rhea asking is fine, but his answer was like, oh, sure, go ahead.
Yeah, you earned it. That was his answer. You earned it. Yeah. Excuse me. What happened to, you know, enforcing actual rules here? Referees are not supposed to be partial. They're supposed to be impartial, not show sides. So you're saying, I know he's being a little bit of a, you know what, lately. So yeah, go ahead and have your minute.
Yeah.
That just bothered me because it made absolutely zero sense.
And then you had Raquel come in and she attacked Rhea. By the way, Raquel, you know, welcome back. I know it's been probably a tough year for her, and happy to see her back, happy to see her healthy. And I mean, there are a lot of people were predicting it anyways. There were some hints that were going on Instagram, Raquel's Instagram going, kind of giving a couple emojis here and there. So I like that she's back. I like that they talked about, you know, Liv and Rhea being old friends. Right. And you know, obviously there's a lot of history with Rhea and Raquel. But yeah, she looks it looked like Raquel attacked Rhea. So the referee saw it, so he called for the bell. But had then no you choice. Had no choice. But then you had like Raquel you know, give her move on Rhea, but then she put Liv on top of Rhea, so maybe she didn't hear the bell and thought like, okay, well, this is clearly what's supposed to be the finish, is you know, now putting Liv on top of Rhea, and that was supposed to be the 1-2-3. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like there was maybe some timing issues as far as where somebody's people are supposed to be, but that it just goes to show like, hey, if the ref sees it, then there's really no choice but to just call what he sees.
Yeah, it was so egregious you had to call it. And I don't know if it was more that I don't know if the finish was supposed to be Raquel interfering for a pinfall victory. Maybe that was just symbolic. I'm just spitballing here. I don't think it is, but maybe it was more or less symbolic of her by placing her on top of Rhea, if that makes sense, if you get my drift, as opposed to it supposedly being the finish. I don't know, but whatever it is, it did look a little clunky. It looked a little bit awkward. It looked a little bit off. And I think that took a lot of the steam out of this, especially from the audience.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a little unfortunate just because I thought it was a great match. I thought we were seeing Liv at her absolute best. I think she was fantastic. I thought Rhea was playing her role really, really well. But it just goes to show that you can have a great beginning and a middle act, but if that ending doesn't deliver, like, you know, when we see with movies all the time, we see like, man, that ending though, like, oh, so weird. And again, this, the good thing about the difference between WWE or just wrestling in general and movies is that the movie ends and there's really no redemption, because like, you know, you're not going to spend $50 million just so you can fix the previous movie. Wrestling is wrestling. You know, you can fix it on Monday, you can kind of easily explain, like, oh, this is what happened. And you know, maybe they'll have a rematch at Crown Jewel, and it's going to be even better than the one we just saw. So again, that's the magical thing about wrestling, is that we can be critical about it now, but we're probably going to forget about it in a couple weeks, because, you know, they're really good at kind of, you know, adjusting those mistakes and kind of seeing where they went wrong and say, hey, okay, let's do it better next time. And
exactly,
that's kind of what some of the magical things about what we love about pro wrestling, you know.
Well, hopefully a lot of the fans out there can do the same instead of rehashing all this old stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of women again, we saw Bayley versus Nia Jax for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship. This one is essentially a rematch from SummerSlam, and we saw Nia Jax defeat Bayley for the championship. And we saw a lot of similarities in terms of Tiffany Stratton coming in, but now a little extra wrinkle, because now it looked like Tiffany, from the point of view of Nia Jax, looked like she was going to cash in. So I kind of like these teases. You know, tune in to SmackDown to see what the next chapter is. But what did you think of this match? And what do you think of this next step of Tiffany's and Nia's relationship?
I like the match. And I know people are saying that there was a lot of stuff that didn't go right in the match from a maneuver standpoint. And it's okay sometimes to have that happen, because it's not supposed to be perfect all the time. If you do everything perfect, then it looks too planned. You know what I mean? So yeah, every once in a while, having a little move going a little awkwardly and not coming off as perfectly, because, you know, we don't want the police, the judges out there in the crowd holding up signs. Oh, that was a 5. That was a 10, whatever the hell it is. No, so I'm okay with that, because the story of the match was very well told, I thought, you know. And as far as the finish goes, I like the little wrinkle when Nia finally saw Tiffany in the ring. It was actually Jessica Carr, the referee, who was holding the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah.
So that added.
That was more, great.
Did she hand it to her? Are you trying to cash in on me? Great timing. Perfect timing. They executed that very well. They told that story brilliantly.
I do like that aspect of it. That those are the little things that I think goes as far as timing goes. Yeah, like we're seeing a lot of the same things, but I feel like we're seeing it presented differently. Right. Because we've seen this happen with pretty much almost any segment or match that Nia Jax has been in, but it's like something new and something different. We know Tiffany's going to interfere. We know we're all going to be wondering if she's going to cash in. And I like that she always does kind of interfere in that moment where Nia's on her back. Right. So I like that aspect of just how it's presented. I do think that maybe it's on the commentators on how they react to certain moves, because that happened like 2 or 3 times where we're like, oh, what a maneuver by Bayley. No, wait, that was Nia Jax's move.
Right.
So maybe, like, obviously Cole is top 3 commentator of all time. Graves is, you know, amazing, but I feel like maybe you should take a beat first. That way you kind of see whose move it was.
Right. I like the fact that on that point, I like the fact that Corey always, when something like that happens, he always refers to, hey, can we get a replay of that? I want to see that again.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? So he can correct himself in case he was mistaken. Yeah. I like that sort of thing.
Yeah. Like, they're not afraid to be like, oh, I'm corrected. This is what ended up happening. Right. But yeah, I thought this was another great match. I think Nia Jax, even though she is the champion, even though she is the top woman in her division, I still feel like she's vastly underrated. I feel like a lot of people don't realize how good Nia Jax is. A lot of people like to say that she's stiff. A lot of people like to say that she's, you know, has too much of a presence, but I blasphemy, if you will, but I see a lot of comparison with her and like an Aja Kong, and we're all watching an Aja Kong match, and I'm like, yo, like, it looks like she is beating the hell out of her opponent, and everybody celebrated it. But when Nia Jax says, oh, look at that, she's too stiff, like, you can't really have it both ways, you know. And if you keep reacting that way, then you're probably, I mean, you're getting worked, essentially. You're getting worked if you're sitting there thinking like, oh, like, yeah, like that, the Charlotte and Nia Jax match from like a year or two ago, where it looked like they were just beating the crap out of each other in the ring. But then, like, you know, by all means, they're both like, nah, man, like, you guys are just getting worked if that's the reaction that you're getting.
But that's the magic, especially now when everybody thinks they know. Yeah. Guess what? You just when you think you know, you don't.
Yeah,
Roddy Piper always said it best, you know, just when you think you have all the answers, I change the questions.
And yeah, that you can't, there's no better statement than that one that Piper said. And that just goes to show, just, you know, and I do it in training all the time whenever I have a wrestling match and people say, like, oh, well, I tell people, I'm not a coach or a trainer or whatever, but I just like to tell people, hey, don't forget, when you're in the ring, you're working them. They're not working you. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's the case, then they should be in the ring, since they're a better worker than you. If you're going to be affected by whatever it is that the crowd says, remember, they paid you to see wrestle, or they paid to see you wrestle. You're not paying them to be a fan, you know? So, but yeah, by all means, I thought it was a good match. I am curious where Nia Jax is going to go from here. I do like this story of, like, I feel like Tiffany, I like her as a heel, and I feel like it may be too soon to have her turn as a babyface, but I would love to see her cash in, and then she still remains a heel, but then she becomes the one that talks down to Nia Jax, if that's even possible.
That's gonna be difficult.
I think, anyway. Difficult, but you know, if there is a way to do it, I'm sure challenge accepted on all parties.
Of course.
I before we get into the last match, not in terms of the order, but the last match we're gonna talk about. Were you specifically excited about seeing any of these legends today? There were a lot of people showing up in Atlanta. Let's not talk about the rappers because nobody cares about them. Let's talk about the legends and the wrestlers, the Mickey James, the Mickey James and the Booker T's and the Lillian Garcias and you know, the Jacqueline Moores, Steiner Brothers. Like, the list goes on and on. DDP, Tully, Arn. Like, were you like, hell yeah, dude. I can't. Oh yeah, we'll talk about that right now. But like, was there someone specific that you're like, oh hell yeah, dude. I'm happy that they are there and getting the recognition they deserve.
Well, for me, when I look at the list, the quick list that I jotted down, of course, Tully and Arn. Mm-hmm. I'm a big Tully and Arn guy.
Yeah, same.
From day one. And, you know, getting to see people like Miss Jacqueline come back and Mickie James does not get enough flowers for what she has done for the women's division, too. So yeah, I kind of expected, since they were in Atlanta, to see Scott Steiner there and hear the dogs bark. But I like seeing everybody there. You kind of figured X-Pac would be there. He's got that association with Hunter and Sean. So, you know, DDP always, you know, that's his home turf. So it made a lot of sense bringing these guys back, especially in Atlanta. So it was good to see.
I always have a special place in my heart for like a Lillian Garcia. I used to work with her on her podcast a couple years ago. So she helped me out in many, many ways, more people than I can imagine. So whenever I see her, I didn't text her today, but the last time she was on TV a couple months ago when she was doing her thing with Samantha Irvin, I sent her a text, be like, you know, it's always a delight to see you on WWE TV, you know?
Yeah. Next time you do, please tell her hello for me.
I'm going to tell her hello right now. And see what she says.
Oh, awesome.
I'm going to see if she responds before the show ends.
My first and only interview on television, she was the one who conducted it backstage during the referee strike, during the before the six pack challenge at No Mercy, I believe. No Way Out.
Was it the one where, because there was a six pack challenge at Unforgiven 99?
That must have been the one.
It was like Rock, Big Show, Hunter, British Bulldog, Foley, I think.
Yeah, and Stone Cold was a special guest enforcer.
Yeah. That was Unforgiven. I just saw that match like a week ago.
Yeah, where they all dragged me out and beat the, you know what. I owe Kyoto a few receipts, by the way.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Let's talk about a little bit about one of the legends that showed up is Bill Goldberg. You know, Triple H came out during that segment of the Crown Jewel, and Gunther comes out pretty much saying that, you know, hey, I'm going to beat Sami Zayn. This title is going to be mine. But I like that they alluded to the promo that we saw a couple weeks ago with Bret Hart and saying like, hey, you know, I didn't really mean it that way, Goldberg, you know, I'm sure you're a better father than you're a wrestler. That kind of, you know, had Goldberg, you know, you don't really talk about people's family, but were you excited about even the potential of a Bill Goldberg Gunther matchup in the future?
To be honest with you, perfectly honest, no, That's something I'm not interested in seeing right now because of Gunther's style. He's a hard hitter, and I don't know if Goldberg can sustain that kind of impact at this point in his career.
Yeah, so
he hasn't been in the ring in a long time. He hasn't taken a hit in a long time, and like I said, Gunther lays it in there. He doesn't potato anybody, but he does work snug.
Yeah, I kind of thought the same thing. I feel like with Bill Goldberg, it seems like maybe people are still sour on that match with him and Undertaker from a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're going to put him in with Gunther, I feel like Gunther is not going to – he's not. I don't mean this to sound mean in any way, or I don't mean to sound like Gunther's a bully in any way, shape, or form. But I feel like if you're in a Gunther match, you're going to wrestle his match. He's not going to wrestle Bill Goldberg's match. So unless it's a Gunther squash in 3 minutes, I don't think that we're going to see that match anytime soon. But
Go ahead. Ask the question.
I was just going to ask, do you think there is going to be one more match for a Bill Goldberg?
I could possibly see it, or maybe even just something where he gets in, where he interferes in a match with Gunther, you know, just out of nowhere. Let's say there's a world championship title defense. If you want to get the title off Gunther, maybe there's a way to do it now that they planted the seed with him and Goldberg, where there's a ref bump or there's a distraction of some sort. Goldberg comes out of nowhere. There's the spear and costs Gunther the championship.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we'll see how that goes. And he's got that big match on Monday with Sami Zayn. So it should be interesting how that one plays out. But yeah, we had one more match to talk about. We have the Judgment Day kind of imploding with Finn Balor and Damian Priest. This has been years in the making, or maybe months or years in the making with them too. We all kind of knew that the inevitable split was going to happen with these two top guys. But overall, what did you think of this match and what's next for Damian Priest?
I did like the match. I thought it was really good. I'm a big Damian Priest guy. He's won me over because there are certain elements of his game that reminds me a lot of Razor Ramon.
Yeah.
The way he moves, the way he conducts himself, the way he closes distance between him and his opponent, little things that he does, his demeanor. I'm not saying he's a carbon copy. I'm just saying, you know, there are elements of his game that remind me of Scott Hall. And I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed the match here. I love the tease with the coup de grace. For a nice false finish, the crowd bought it. You know that sometimes it's hard to do nowadays, where people think they know what the finish is going to be, and you know. But I thought the match overall was good. I expected the interference from the other Judgment Day members, but they played it off well. They protected the referee as best they could, which is what you have to do. And I thought the match was fine.
I'm just going to mention it just because I've had a couple people say it in the chat, but it looks like after the PLE, I don't know if whether it's backstage or whether it's in the ring, but it looks like Kevin Owens attacked Cody Rhodes.
Oh,
maybe somebody can elaborate in the chat on what exactly, where it happened. But I do think that adds to maybe the story of what we've been seeing for the past couple weeks on SmackDown in terms of Kevin Owens not being happy about Cody teaming with Roman. You know, you have Cody, you know, a Roman doing everything he can do with a bloodline against a Cody, against a Kevin, against a Randy Orton. And now it looks like, you know, Kevin Owens is just very like, hey, like, what the hell are you doing? I saw a clip on Twitter. KO attacked Cody near his bus and the parking lot. Little things like that kind of, you know, I guess we got to follow the Twitter account to kind of see. And I do want to ask, just because we're very, very critical at times. And I think fairly critical about other companies. When you hear something like, oh, KO attacked Cody, and now we're not seeing it on the main show, we're not seeing it, we're seeing it maybe happening on X or Twitter, or somebody's tweeting us, is that something that you should save for the main show, or do you like it when they do things on the social medias?
Again, six of one, half a dozen of the other, because of the social media presence of the WWE right now. They do have a large presence on social media, so I'm sure a lot of eyes saw it. But at the same time, putting it out there on their main show, you know what? They do the press conference afterwards, right? And they do the little stuff with Jackie Redmond and Big E and that sort of stuff. Why not just, you know what? This just happened. Let's go to it. We have a camera out there and show that. Show that footage of KO taking out Cody Rhodes by his bus. I mean, you can do it that way. And then, you know what? We'll have more on this later. Please tune into SmackDown and we'll have apparently we have the full video coverage and we'll play it then or something, anything along those lines. Tease it.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty interesting. Maybe it's a little bit different with them and other places because WWE's social media presence is just so enormously huge. I mean, I think they were saying they're what, number 10 on all the YouTube channels in the entire world. So that kind of goes to show, like, yeah, that's a pretty big deal.
Or as they say in New York, that's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. But overall, going back to the match, I thought it was a good match. Can't wait to see what's next. It does look like this was the end of the line for two of the biggest feuds, you know, Finn and Damian, and then we have Punk and McIntyre. So I'm kind of curious how they're going to, you know, go to the next step or go to the next level. Are we going to see a Damian Gunther rematch that we never really saw because Damian was distracted with the Judgment Day news? Are we going to see more matches with Liv and Rhea? Who's Liv's going to the next challenger going to be? Right. I know there's a lot of great women on the Raw roster and see where that goes. One more thing before we start wrapping it all up. We did see another vignette tonight, and it was a little bit more specific than the last one that we saw. Because in this one, we saw Ford Field, and then we saw a couple of fast engines, I guess you can say, a motor running.
In the Motor City?
In the city.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with Flobo yesterday, actually. I was like, I think that they're going to drop the machine gun name. I think for obvious reasons, if you need me to explain why, I think, you can figure it out, if you know what I mean. Especially with, you know, a lot of things that happen in the real world. But I do like that they're alluding to the Motor City part of the team. So it looks like these guys are, as much as people were expecting them to show up on NXT this upcoming Tuesday, it looks like they will be showing up on SmackDown soon. So how excited are you to see Chris Sabin and Alex Shelley actually skip NXT and go straight to the main roster?
Very excited about it. I mean, I like the proposition of them going to NXT and helping the talent down there because these guys are just great, and they would be great hands to help the young generation of tag teams. But I think because on SmackDown and on the main roster, we're seeing a little bit of a lack of tag teams, putting them into the main roster right away. They're main roster ready.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. They don't need any fine tuning. These guys, that's for sure. They're that damn good. They look good because I saw him here in Toronto just a couple of weeks ago and got to talk to him then. So, they're raring and ready to go. And I think this is a big get for them. And this is going to be a big boost to the tag team division, especially on SmackDown.
And also, like we've seen with many, many, many main roster acts, and they still keep going, that it's easier when you're on SmackDown or on Raw, you can still do a lot of things in NXT. As opposed to if you're in NXT, it kind of like they don't have many NXT guys go to the main roster, but they have a lot of main roster people go to NXT and still make it work as far as contributing to the developmental system, contributing to the top talent that NXT has. And especially with now that they're on the CW, there could be a lot of, you know, interpromotion with, hey, I'm on USA, I'm on CW. And so either way, I think it's going to be really, really cool. I'm kind of curious how quick they are going to be inserted into the tag title division. And either way, I'm excited to see these two guys. I met Chris Sabin a long time ago, and I cannot say how nice he was. Like, what a great person. I've heard the same about Alex Shelley. I just can't say that from a personal standpoint because I never met him. But yeah, Sabin, like what a great human that person was. And I can't wait to see. And congrats on their success. Congrats on their upcoming success. I know that as great as TNA is, as great as AEW is, whenever you don't really notice how big the WWE is until you get noticed outside. Like, for example, I was at Comic-Con the last couple of days in LA.
Right.
I saw so many people dressed up as WWE people, whether it's Cena cosplay, Savage, Slim Jim cosplay, just regular shirts. It's like, it really is like almost as if AJ Styles said it, where I thought I was famous already. I thought I was getting noticed already. But when I started in WWE, it was this whole new ball game. So kudos to everybody involved. So I can't wait to see them show up.
Speaking of which, wishing AJ Styles get well soon. Hopefully it's not too bad.
Whatever the injury is.
Yeah, I know there's some reports out there that it was an angle. Hate to disappoint you fellas. It wasn't.
So yeah, kudos to Aegis Towers.
And by the way, you talk about Comic Cons. There's a guy up here in Canada that goes to all the Comic Cons locally. And I don't know, there's videos out there. You may have seen it where half of him is dressed up like Hulk Hogan and the other half is
Savage.
That's and he cuts great. A promo one way on as Hogan. And then when he turns around, he does the
Savage. That's awesome. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I agree. On a scale of 1 to 25, Jimmy, where would you rate Bad Blood?
Obviously, I don't think it was a perfect preview. There were some issues with it, but at the same time, I liked it. I enjoyed it. It kept me interested for the entire 2.5 hours, almost, what was it? 3.5 hours.
It was like 3.5. Yeah. One of their longer ones in the recent memory.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm okay with it. I'm giving it a number. I'm not big on giving it numbers, but if I had to give it one
on a scale from A to G,
A to G, now you're throwing me. I'm Greek. Why didn't you say alpha to omega?
Alpha to on a scale from alpha to beta. What would you rank it?
I'd give it an alpha and a half or something.
No, nice. We should develop a new ranking system like that.
Yeah, really. Well, if they can do it for matches, 5 stars, they actually increase it to what, 6 or 7? I don't know.
I don't know. It changes every couple.
But
of years.
It was good. It was an entertaining pay-per-view. I love the structure of that 5-match format. They give the matches time. Every match has a story and keep it that way until I know what's going to happen WrestleMania 2 nights, but that's the anomaly.
Well, all those big ones are going to be 2 nights now.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time before Rumble, I think, goes to 2 nights, if anything. Mm. But I liked it overall. I would give it maybe like a 19 or 20 out of a 25.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But just to kind of, before I put a bow on it, what was the first ever, of course, Undertaker Shawn Michaels, the second ever was Undertaker Mankind. What was the third ever Hell in a Cell match on pay-per-view?
Anybody in the chat get it right? Let's see.
I didn't see anybody. I think it was a little confusing at first because, when I was kind of figuring out a Raw or whatever. But just one more time, the first Hell in a Cell match was, of course, Undertaker Shawn Michaels years ago. The second one we alluded to earlier, Undertaker Mankind from King of the Ring 98. The third ever Hell in a Cell match on pay-per-view was WrestleMania 15. Undertaker versus the Big Boss Man.
Boss Man? Oh, my goodness.
A little bit of a forgotten one.
Man, God bless Ray Traylor, man. Boss Man was fantastic. For a big man, the guy could move. He did everything. So, when he threw punches, people in the front row were going, oh, in the front row. They were that good.
Yeah. A lot of people's punches are very underrated, like him, like Jerry Lawler, Jeff Jarrett, I think, had a great punch as well.
Jeff Jarrett still has a great punch.
Yeah. Barry Windham, I thought, had a great one too. Mm-hmm. Bad Blood. Let us know what you guys think in the comments down below. Let us know on iTunes. Let us know on Spotify. I really want to know what you guys thought of Bad Blood. What did you guys rank it out of 25 or out of the Greek alphabet? Is it an alpha plus, alpha minus, beta plus, just a beta? Who knows? We're really gonna do that, Jimmy. Next time we do a pay-per-view recap, we're really gonna have this Greek ranking system down, and we're really gonna go balls to the wall with it.
Okay. Let's see. From Enna to Veka.
Alpha, beta. Is it alpha, beta, kappa?
Gamma.
Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon.
Zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, si, mi, si, omros, pi, no. Oh my goodness!
we're gonna perfect it very soon. But for in the meantime, where can people find you, and what's going on with roughing it up?
Okay, you can find me here on Monday nights after Raw, Wednesday nights after Dynamite, roughing it up with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This past week we had Ricky Gibson. Next week we're having Ricardo Rodriguez.
Oh, he's from the same neighborhood as I am.
Yeah, good dude. I love Ricardo. Yeah. And of course, up here in Canada, the hot, what is it? No, not hot. Huge Pop radio show on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio on Sunday nights. This week, we talked to Blue Meanie, good friend of ours. Yeah, love Meanie. And of course, my ref and rants I do from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms. Just tightening screws that I believe need tightening and calling out the refs.
Did the interview with Ricardo Rodriguez already happen?
No, that's happening this week.
I was gonna say, if you talk to him, just remind him that he went to the same high school as Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, okay. I gotta let me write that down. Same high school.
Yeah, he went to the same high school. Joseph Gordon-Levitt went to that high school, and Marilyn Monroe went to that high school.
as Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And G. Gordon Levitt?
Joseph Gordon Levitt.
No, Joseph Gordon Levitt. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to, yeah, I'm going to hit that up.
Yeah, and then tell him I say hello and tell him to follow me on all the social medias. I think he does already. At G Hermoza, GHERMOZA. You can follow my wrestling channel, the YouTube/ the Wrestling Chatter. I got all these fun interviews. I got an interview with Buff Bagwell. A little bit of that was on the main site on Wrestling Inc. today, talking about his dark side of the ring. And I got some more interviews coming up very, very soon. And I can't wait to share with y'all. But in the meantime, again, let us know what you guys thought about Bad Blood. And we'll catch you next time.
This message comes from BetterHelp. Can you think of a time when you didn't feel like you could be yourself? Like you were hiding behind a mask? BetterHelp online therapy is convenient, flexible, and can help you learn to be your authentic self so you can stop hiding. Because masks should be for Halloween fun, not for your emotions. Take off the mask with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.